Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on what has been sort of an off and on rain. Rainy Tuesday, so we hope everybody doing well, settling in, and hope you'll join us for the next couple of hours.
Pretty violent storm blew in there for just a little, you know, a few minutes there.
Well, it's funny, on the side of town, I'm normally on your side of town, where we've got another day with the granddaughter, and up where we were, it just rained a little. That's all. Some lightning in the distance.
And the closer you were to the interstate, you know, the worse it got. But some gnarly stuff blew through a little bit earlier. Hopefully everybody's.
Oh, that's great. That means I need to check when I go to the house to feed the dog. Hope Dusty's all right.
Check the dog in the yard when you get home.
Great. Had Husky. I didn't even think about this. This is one of Husky's days to cut. So.
Husky's all terrain.
My robotic mower is on a schedule. I didn't even think about it. I mean, it didn't appear to be a bad day to have it have him cutting.
Does rain, you probably don't want him in.
No, the only thing it does is it can get some grass, you know, like
sure.
up underneath and in the wheels and the blades. But no rain, nor storm, no whatever. Day, night, doesn't matter. He'll cut just fine. But I'd prefer him not being out in this kind of weather. You know, you're concerned for your family and everything, so.
Sure. That's Andy Burcham.
That is indeed Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, joining us here in studio. Andy-o, I like that.
Fine.
Andy,
I've been called worse.
Andy, oh.
Yeah. How was the vacation?
It was fine. It was fun. It was a lot. We were in Italy last week. We started in Rome and cruised north to Monte Carlo with six stops in between. I'd never been to Italy before.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
And
had you been anywhere over there?
Not that part of Europe. Not that far south in Europe. And it's a fascinating, I mean, just from a history standpoint, to see the Colosseum. We did a tour of the Vatican, which is enormous for one. I mean, just it's its own country. And I'm still processing all that we saw on the trip. And I'm glad to be back. It was a fun trip. It was we were celebrating our 20th anniversary this summer.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. And so it was a fabulous trip, and took lots of pictures and had some terrific food. My brother and sister-in-law went with, and so we're just kind of getting back into the swing of things here.
Yeah, well, a great time to do it. I mean, you know, it's sort of
the only time to do it.
Yes. Well, for you,
me, yes. But it was great. We had a terrific time. But are very glad to be back and now kind of in the home stretch as we get ready for the 24-25 athletic season coming up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, media days are next week out in Dallas. You were telling us before we came on the air, you've got a couple of ambush events in the state.
Yeah, there's the Wednesday. Auburn is Thursday, a week from Thursday in Dallas. And there are two ambush events on Wednesday, a lunch in Houston and then a dinner that same evening in Dallas. And that's about all the details that I have at this point. As far as I know, it's Hugh Freeze, Bruce Pearl, and John Cohen. And I'm acting as the moderator, as I do on some of these ambush events. So that's about all that I know at this point. Looking forward to it. I don't think I will be at Media Days. I think I'll be back that night late. At least that's what I assume. I don't have the final details on that. But looking forward to seeing the folks in Houston and in Dallas and being part of that. And then as a matter of fact, I booked two or three other Auburn Club events while I was in Italy. as a matter of fact. One in Clanton that I've done every year now for, goodness, I was doing it before even Rod passed.
Mm-hmm.
One in Nashville, Tennessee, in early August. And then the Montgomery Quarterback Club has restarted, and it's now a breakfast.
Oh, okay.
And I think I'm going to be part of that sometime in October. You know,
that was a large organization.
It was. And I did that one evening several years ago, and I can't remember. It was after COVID, as I recall. And it was downtown in what's the really tall?
The MPAC or the
the one across right downtown. I know what you're talking about. It's across from the old Colonial Bank
right,
building.
Exactly.
Okay.
And now it's being held on the Huntington campus, and breakfast. It's a breakfast now. So anyway, this is the time of the year that I get out and talk to some folks, and so looking forward to that. And as I was listening to Jacob and Daryl the previous hour, I mean, you know, once you get to media days, I mean, it really, everything's in motion at that point. You know, I mean, you're not too far away from fall practice.
I still remember sitting at media days with you, Bill, and seeing the news break that Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Were, I mean, that happened at.
I want to say
Media Days 21.
It happened right in the middle of it.
During
it was like day two.
And it wasn't supposed to.
No.
It wasn't supposed to come out because I was there as well. It was Auburn's day at Media Days. That's the only reason that I was there. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it broke. And I was sitting on Media Row as well. And boy, I mean, when it broke,
it was wildfire.
Exactly. It was, and I think it broke because some folks at A&M were a little ticked off about it and leaked it, as I recall. Mm-hmm.
I also remember. I think that the AD from A&M went, which was or took questions or something, which is a fairly unusual step at SEC Media Days too. That was a strange one, and that was if it was Auburn Day, and I'm pretty sure it was 21 because there wasn't a Media Days in 20 with COVID. If that was Auburn Day 21, that would have been Bo Nix representing Auburn as a junior, which was a fairly significant development because Auburn didn't bring. I mean, Auburn would occasionally bring juniors, but that leads me into. I mean, Auburn made the selection, or we announced, we learned yesterday that Auburn is taking Eugene Asante, Peyton Thorne, and Keldrick Falk. Ferguson's done some research. Brian Matthews talked about this yesterday as well. As far as we can tell, this is the only true sophomore Auburn has ever taken to SEC Media Days, Keldrick Falk. And I mean,
it's rare for any team to have a sophomore represented.
I mean, that's a sign of trust and faith in the potential and the maturity of a homegrown guy that people think could be a very, very good football player before he's finished.
Well, listen, I mean, he came in and it was highly touted. He probably played more as a true freshman than Auburn would have liked a year ago. And I think it shows as well a little bit of the lack of depth that Auburn has up front that he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, but he's the guy. He's the guy on that one side for certain for Auburn at this point. So, and he was second team All-American a year ago, played very, very well for the Tigers. So I'm not surprised at anything that goes on at Media. Bill, I can remember way, way back when on the Wednesday, I guess it was, I can remember the announcement being made that South Carolina and Arkansas were coming into the league. That happened at a Media. Now, we knew it. Nothing was
right.
It was not that, breaking that was, news, but the formal announcement
that was
came.
Yeah, the official announcement that they were joining.
And I'm guessing it was Roy Kramer that made that announcement at that point. So things have happened. And listen, we've talked about this many times. When Bill and I were doing the show back in the day, you know, at one point, Media Days, man, there was news almost every year that came out of Media
Days. The thing is, you didn't know what was going on with a lot of the players.
Sure.
There were eligibility questions. You had back, you know, we were talking yesterday, Andy, about the Georgia adding a player for this year's class who'd been a basketball player, decided to he's going to go football. But, I mean, there would be questions about players that had signed in the spring. Were they going to be eligible? Because everybody wasn't on campus all summer.
No, there was no January freshman. coming in. So, I mean, we were still at that point.
Who's going to show?
Yeah, you
people
know,
graduated in the spring.
Yeah, there was, yeah. And there was still that drop off day at the old Sewell Hall. I mean, we covered it.
Oh yeah,
you know, when moms and dads dropped their kids off, and they didn't even spend the summer.
Would it be fair to say that something else that has changed, like in years in a bygone era, there would be a long period of time between the last time a coach took questions from assembled media and SEC media days. Hugh Freeze took questions from the media last week.
Well, there were no ambush tours.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There was no social media. The only people that were at media days were those of us in radio, like Bill and I, the newspapers, and TV.
Yes, and we'd
that's
have,
all there
we'd
was.
Have a small room. I mean, there'd be a small room.
And a lot
radio,
of people.
The radio room. There was no, there was no internet.
Yeah. I am the radio room.
And Jim,
I mean, there was internet, but there weren't internet like wasn't internet coverage.
And Jim was the mayor of Radio Room. Jim Fipe was the mayor of Radio Room. So it was an amazing thing to behold and to watch how it has developed, how Media Days has developed. Now you can basically watch it on SEC Network. You know, every coach is featured, players are featured.
It's very difficult for there to be exclusives that anybody has. Yeah. I mean, very rarely. I mean, you know, if you're fortunate on Radio Row to get somebody to sit down with you and you ask them a question that nobody else has. But I mean, it's more difficult now. It used to be much more intimate. I do wonder. It's funny. I was listening to Jacob on the way in as well, and I sort of agree with Daryl. I mean, the last day is usually getaway day. I think it is very important, and the SEC has done that this year, in having somebody who's going to have home coverage there with A&M on Thursday as well. Because if it weren't, it would be a ghost town, I think, by Thursday, because everybody is ready to go. I guess it won't be until Friday until you get the preseason
ratings. Have they made the announcement about where it will be next year?
I don't believe they. I would expect that during the commissioner's remarks at the beginning of the event. Maybe I feel like that's when we found out about next year's. But I think it seems strategic that they decided to go opening day, Texas day, Oklahoma day, A&M day to ensure that Texas and Oklahoma, because I imagine Texas and Oklahoma will bring quite a bit of media for their respective outlets, and the major markets in Texas and Oklahoma will have media representing those two. Texas A&M as well, with the first media days in Texas. So I think that you're ensuring at least for one program, and then the first day will have opening day festivities and the commissioner's remarks and things like that. But I think you're ensuring with an Oklahoma day, an A&M day, and a Texas day that those three, and I believe A&M goes the same day as Auburn, right?
Yes, they do on the last day.
Yeah, I think ensuring that those three schools have have separate days, I think it feels deliberate, and it feels like a way to make sure that there's quite a bit of coverage for all three of those days instead of an overloaded day.
Oh yeah, but what I was saying is if they had say Texas or Oklahoma on day one, then Oklahoma and A&M, and it was Auburn, Kentucky, Arkansas, and somebody else on the last day, there probably wouldn't be an awful lot of folks.
It's like how you don't always release the best single as the first single, right? Well, because you know there's going to be a lot of attention.
It depends.
You know there's going to be attention for day one.
If anybody knows who you are, don't do that.
If you're the SEC.
If you're brand new, it's your debut single ever, want people to.
When Bill and I were doing it, and I guess the last year that you and I did it was 95, the 95 Media Days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was always in Birmingham. We did the Thursday, the last day show here.
Right.
We would get audio that morning.
Wrap up.
And we'd be back in Auburn doing the show. So good luck doing that this year.
I've been in the car.
Well, since Auburn is scheduled 1-4 on Thursday.
Exactly.
No, I expect
just be back for the Monday show, all right?
No, what I love to do is I love to be the one getting the dirty looks on Radio Row because it is 6 o'clock on the last day.
And they want you to get out.
They are ready to turn the power off.
Yeah.
Well, and that is another thing. That would be a great little documentary about Radio Row at SEC Media Days. Because when it started, it was just a couple stations.
Oh, there was maybe three or four. Right. There were, I think there was I think LAC from Nashville.
Right.
You had two or three from Birmingham.
Is Feinbaum in the picture at this point?
He was doing a radio show in Birmingham.
Okay. So he was doing
a show in Birmingham. Herb Winches was doing a show in Birmingham.
Herb and Ben Cook
were doing a show. I think Eli wasn't doing a show
right
at that time. He had Calling All Sports was his old show.
Now Max Howell used to tell me stories about being on Radio Row at early SEC media days.
He was there probably the first couple of years before we moved over to the Galleria.
Okay.
We were right downtown at UAB. And no, it was, as a matter of fact, when we asked, it was
very
like,
exclusive
you
club.
You want to do what? You need a phone line? Yeah, I mean it really was odd, and there were maybe three or four stations that were doing it.
And now, goodness, it's crazy. Yeah. Everybody had, and it's not just radio stations anymore.
No,
it's. Yeah,
they're live podcasts and it's all kinds.
Sure.
Now the really small group are the guys actually working for newspapers.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're absolutely right.
The dudes that are full time employees.
Remember that was the huge ballroom,
right?
Yeah, and now they are the four. Now they're the four group. You know, the four guys that were there in Radio Row the first time.
It's remarkable how things change. But the timing of it though is always the unofficial kickoff to everything else that leads into the season this point.
The other thing that has changed is media days used to just be, I mean, it would be literally a day or two before the start of practice. I mean, it was late. It was later in the month of July. It would be right at the end of July.
I mean, it wasn't all that long ago you had a much later.
Because it would go from that to the start of full
by
practice.
The next week was practice.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
has recruiting influenced that, you think? Does a desire for coaches to have more of the month of July?
Everybody wants they want the numbers. They want the clicks or the views or the whatever, you know. It sells.
Maybe it's also that the SEC Network doesn't have a ton going on in the month of July.
Inventory is very nice.
If you can turn media days into something that you can, you know, rerun and do stuff with, that's it's an option too, but I expect this to blowout coverage here on Auburn Network. We're gonna have Doug there. We're gonna have Jacob, and I'm gonna be there from this show. So four straight days live at Radio Row next week. You're not gonna want to miss it. Yeah, sounds like we could be on Thursday especially. We could be talking with quite a few folks from the Auburn party making some time for
That's
us.
That's right. Catch them before they hit the before they're pulled onto
flag
the plane.
Them down. Yeah.
That's right. All right. We need to get to our first break of the afternoon. We're just getting underway here on this Tuesday. As you've heard, it's Bill, Dan, and Andy Burcham. Drew at the controls. You can join us by calling the Drive Hotline, which is sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Stick with us. We'll be right back here on the Tuesday Drive.
Achilles tendonitis.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, and we're joined by the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, here in the studio. Drew is at the controls. We'd love for you to join in as well. You heard the numbers there, 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise? Andy already got already getting depth charts ready for the season opener.
I love it.
Yeah, as far as I can, I'd love to start working on the opponent, frankly, but I just can't get that information.
Yeah, I'm sure.
At this point. But yeah, this is I took today the roster. I've updated it since A-Day, which includes a lot of weight changes,
a lot of
and some numbers
and sizes
and that type of thing. And I've just put them all on the same board for me. And then I did the same thing for basketball today as well.
Oh, that's interesting. Basketball, I think, is let's talk a little basketball. I mean, the additions, the experience that Auburn has, this is Again, an extremely deep and experienced team. Now, obviously, J.P. Pegues, Miles Kelly, and then I'm blanking on our power forward.
The freshman edition?
No. Turtle? Jaheim Hudson, right?
Yeah. Turtle?
No. Yeah, Turtle.
Turtle Hudson?
I mean, they have a lot of experience, not at Auburn, but, I mean, it is experience at the top level.
I like the potential of this team right now. And, obviously, everything changed for this year's team when it became apparent mm-hmm. that not only Janai, because, you know, Dylan announced first.
Right.
And then Janai after that. And we've heard Bruce Pearl talk about, and we saw this briefly just a couple times a year ago, last season, with both Janai and Dylan on the floor at the same time. I think they're going to take more of a look at that, put Janai a power forward and let Dylan play the five a little bit more with those guys in there. At that point, I think we may see a little bit more of that, and I don't know if it makes it to the season. I think we're going to see some of that in practice.
The versatility that they seem to have, because I'm still curious about how tempted they'll be. Look, nothing. I mean, because I really want to see how Chaney Johnson takes to his second year of SEC basketball and playing at the Division I level as well. But I also am curious about. If Auburn likes one of its post options and wants to go small beyond either Dylan or Janai at the five, could we see Chad Baker Mazzara and Miles Kelly together as your front court with two guards? You know, could you see something like that where either Kelly or
at
Baker Mazzara?
Four,
that's what thinking? I mean if you want to go real small with Janai or Dylan mm-hmm. as your five and really try to spread. I mean, five shooters on the floor with Janai and those four potentially.
Right. You have the possibility of getting really big with both Dylan and Janai. You have the possibility, because you've got the depth, of playing smaller and quicker.
You could go really big with Denver at the point as well. I mean,
absolutely.
You think about how big you could, you know, how you could push it down the line from there. But yeah. No, I think that the versatility, the way that the different, a lot of tools in the toolbox for
it's going to be a
Pearl
fascinating year in basketball year. Because a lot of the, you know, I mean, with everybody that has come back and the addition in the portal that Alabama has, they're going to get a lot of the national flash, mm-hmm. and rightfully so.
Absolutely. I mean, with the guys they have back after a Final Four run.
And the fact that Sears is back and you know, Aiden now plays for Alabama, where he's going to play, that's a little bit interesting.
No kidding.
Right there. So
Sears and Nelson coming back feel like huge.
And to let me say this. To me, I mean, Sears is Sears. He's a great scorer. Nelson's the glue guy. Nelson's the reason that Alabama beat Auburn in Tuscaloosa earlier last year. He was the guy that got the big offensive rebounds down the stretch.
He's the guy in the tournament. I mean, boy.
He is a...
Well, they lose the Carolina game without Nelson.
I really like him as a player because he gets the dirty right rebounds. And getting him back, yeah, Sears is... I mean, there's your score, okay? But getting Nelson back, I think, is huge, huge for Alabama. I really like him as a player, and I think he's one of the reasons I think they're going to be very good. But I think that some people are sleeping a little bit on this Auburn team. And Janai coming back is enormous. And I know this is that's obvious, but it gives Auburn and the fact that Dylan is back as well gives Auburn a lot of options this year.
There can't be a team that has that kind of experience and talent coming back at the post.
Defensively too.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got two major shot
blockers. Offensively,
blockers.
Defensively. Right. What I mean, it's a dream to be able to have two guys like that. Yeah. And they played together. They played so long.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Does J.P. Pegues settle in at the point guard spot? I think Auburn needs him to be that guy. Who then is the backup? Is it Denver? Is it Tahad, who, you know, was highly touted as a point guard, although we're kind of hearing a little bit more that he may play some of the two. But the guy that no one's talking about, at least right now, the addition is Miles Kelly.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, this is a
only
guy
the leading scorer right. for an ACC team a year ago.
And put his foot in, put his foot into the NBA draft, and pulled it out, and now is with Auburn. Don't sleep on Miles Kelly and what he could do for this Auburn team as well.
And that's a guy who had to. I was just hearing a story from Coach K about the way that NBA players have to adjust to the Olympic game, and because the guys are used to when you take five guys that are used to being option one on good NBA teams and tell them. Play together, it's an adjustment. And Kobe Bryant talked about, I'm not used to getting open looks. I'm not used to getting single coverage by a guy who's not the best defender on the other team. And I think Miles Kelly's going to have to make that adjustment, but it's a good adjustment to have to make, to have to go from being the focal point every night that teams knew they had to stop to keep Georgia Tech in check, to being one of several options on this Auburn team that teams have to worry about defensively, and maybe that improves. You know, I don't know if he's going to have statistics, but I'd say the possibility to be really efficient and really effective is there when you have teammates like this that your opponent has to worry about.
Does Chaney Johnson step into the Jalen Williams role, a guy that can play the three, the four? I mean, Jalen played the five a couple of times for Auburn. Boy, there's just so much. There is so much promise with this team and what this team can be. It can be big. It can be smaller. It can be quick. It can run. So I look forward to what this basketball season is. And let me tell you, I don't think Auburn's had an off-season schedule of what we know right now. Than what we'll see out of this. I mean, just the three games alone. In Hawaii, plus the Duke game, plus the North Carolina State game, and the rumors out there of the other neutral site games at this point. Goodness gracious. If you're not battle-tested at the end of this non-conference schedule, you better be.
What a day, because it's signing day. The Cameron Indoor game is the Auburn Duke game.
I didn't realize
that. Auburn Duke game is the same day as the early signing period. So what a day that could be. What a news-filled day that could be for Auburn in general. But, yeah, it's going to be historic. And then, I'm right there with you. I mean, we were just talking about Mark Sears and, I guess, Jani Broome as well. Like, those are guys that took a year two jump. You know, the second-year players at their respective programs, in their respective conferences, got a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about Chaney or Chad or Denver and what year two could mean
right.
for those guys as they have their feet underneath them.
You know, and maybe this is, I don't know, just the first thought that comes to mind is I think I could see Denver really.
I do too.
I expect
Denver Jones to be the scorer this year
that everybody thought
that we thought we'd see from him a year ago.
Didn't Samir?
Because we saw it near the end of the season.
Yes, we did.
I mean, watching him play at the end of the season, I saw more confidence in his shot down the stretch of last season.
Samir kind of had a progression of a year one where he was a part of the team and at times a bench role, but year two for Samir, he became a first team all conference player, was one of the best scorers in the league by the end of that. That was the COVID. That was the season that
he was a stud. Yeah. He was a stud that turned into the COVID year for the Auburn Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
I loved and listen. I mean, he went from being the guy that committed the foul in the Final Four. And then what he did that next year, I mean, he was one of the leaders on that ball club. No question about that. So,
anyway. And I see elements of Samir's game in Denver as well. I think there's parts of, you know, as scorers, you know, maybe it's not mirror images of each other. But
from his physicals, I think Denver can be a more physical type player. But and I think we saw Samir play a little point. And so Denver has played some points, so there are some similarities there. Oh, well.
All right. It's really fun to think about. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Join us as we continue here with the Tuesday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes with Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers. Yeah, we're talking about SEC Media Days with Peyton Thorne, Eugene Asante, and Keldrick Falk. It has been a busy offseason for Auburn football, Andy, as you look at the projected depth chart. I mean, there are a lot of new faces, a lot of turnover since the bowl game last year.
Quite a bit. And you look at, I mean, it right now, a new projected left tackle offensively. The rest of the guys are they're there. They may be in new roles.
On the offensive line, right. Yes.
Your tight end room is back almost intact.
Mm-hmm.
Your tailback room is back almost intact as a result of the accident with Brian Batty. Your quarterback spot is basically what you thought it was going to be. The big change offensively, obviously, is the improvement as far as talent is concerned at the wide receiver spot. I think we're still going to see a lot of movement defensively for Auburn when fall practice starts. I mean, we were talking before.
There are a lot of battles.
Just in the secondary alone.
Secondary, and now I think the defensive front as well. Right. Auburn's brought in, you know, quite a few new faces there on the defensive front since spring.
I don't know. I would think maybe because of how much you saw Caleb Wooden last year, you might think he's got a good shot at one of the two starting spots at safety, but it feels like that's pretty up in the air right now because of who they've brought in and some of the younger players that have progressed. You know, you got to look out for Bug Thompson. You got to look out for they're big fans of Terrence Love and the other younger safeties in that mix. But no, I mean the competition beyond the presumptive starters. Behind Keontae, behind Kay and Lee, behind Champ Anthony, like it's. I mean, you thought Tyler Scott was.
Oh, he was.
I think he
probably
was,
next in line.
I agree. I think he was at least at a backup role until the ACL took care of his season.
And removing him from the picture, right. I think opens up a lot of possibilities and a lot of competition.
Agreed.
For every other scholarship.
And I think there's a great deal of competition that we're going to see, especially on the interior defensive front for Auburn, with the names, you know, with the guys that are coming in that, you know, I mean, Auburn lost a lot up front. They've got a lot to replace up front for the Tigers at this point.
See, I think the competition there is competing to prove you belong in the rotation. It's not even about competing for snaps with, like, right. It's just a matter of, I mean, we'll see if guys, you know, show, because the one I think Keldrick would be the guy that, and maybe to a degree Rakes would be the ones where you'd think, like, okay, they have a shot of, you know, you would think maybe they could show that they deserve, you know, more than a rotational role, more than a lion's share of the snaps where it could feel different without them on the field.
I think Jalen McLeod could be close to that.
I think Jalen McLeod
as well.
Jalen McLeod. Same.
So right. I was thinking more of the more defensive
of the linemen, as opposed to the edges.
I would agree with McLeod, although I am also very excited about Kieron Crawford.
Yeah,
agreed.
You
know, people at Troy are very happy he's out of the Sun Belt. You know, if that was the impression I got, is that folks around the Sun Belt pretty happy that Auburn went in and grabbed a guy with that
kind
of.
To me, defensively, there are two spots that you look at right now. As to say, while there are still some questions to be answered, not from a talent standpoint, it's just a personnel standpoint. One is the secondary, and one is the defensive front for Auburn at this point, and then from a depth standpoint at linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I see it. Now, listen, a lot can change between now and, heck, even the start of fall ball.
Oh, you're not
this
kidding.
This time last year, we weren't talking about Eugene Asante.
No.
Right? So it's like right.
Oh, no, because you were surprised that he was still around because hadn't seen him much at all. In his first year.
Let's work. Yeah, a lot can change.
Yes.
He got to work.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Let's get to it. And Jeff is up first. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing all right. Good to hear from you, Jeff.
Good. Hey, Andy. Finally a chance to get on the air. We on the air. Good talking to you. I love your calls.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
For many years, I wanted to just say real quick, you and Coach Sonny, man, what a combo. You guys are beyond funny on the air. I love it.
Well, appreciate it. Sonny is the funny one. I am the straight man, to be sure.
Yeah, he's hilarious. I hope he's around a long time. Yeah, he is true Auburn man.
Indeed he is.
Yeah, look, you guys were talking about the old media days. I can remember prior to departing Alabama years ago when we had the old Channel 12 Sky Show.
Oh, the Sky Riders? Yeah.
Sky Rider show. Wow, that was great stuff. That seemed like ancient media times.
Well, of course, Phil carried that on even when there were media days going on. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, Phil carried that. Oh, my God. I used to look forward to that. I would just lock myself in when they would do those Sky shows.
Yeah, I can still see the caricature of Phil and Vic, his cameraman.
Vic Irving.
Yeah, absolutely, on the airplane.
Vic was first roommate on the road with the Auburn Network.
Is that right?
Because he was the cameraman for the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And so he and I roomed together that first couple of years, as a matter of fact. We'd go on the road. You talk about a character, but an incredible talent. When he passed, I mean, just the outpouring of from a lot of folks. So yeah, Vic was a cool dude. Now let me tell you, but he was a terrific videographer as well.
Yeah, I would hear that name. I didn't know him personally, but I would always hear Phil talk about him. So
he was thought of highly enough that he was allowed by Coach Dye to go fish on Coach Dye's private ponds.
Wow,
that's what Coach Dye
says a lot.
Yeah, that's what Coach Dye thought of Vic Irving.
Yeah, enough said there. And with the players that are going to the media days, I just kind of wondering. Me and a good friend was wondering. What happened with Jacquez? Well, is there an issue why he wasn't? I thought with him being a senior leader.
No, I think it's just it's. I mean, you only have three guys, and
right.
Eugene, I think, was definitely one. Peyton's yes. Your starting quarterback, and I mean, I really feel that Hugh Freeze wants everyone to realize how much confidence he has in Peyton Thorne. And I said this yesterday, Jeff and Andy. I mean, if you know who your starting quarterback is and you don't take him to media days, that almost says something.
That would be more of a story than the fact that your starting tailback isn't going.
Yeah, you know, and I don't. I think it's dangerous to get into the why wasn't someone selected, because we don't.
And there
know
are a lot of people that could have gone.
You don't know the behind the scenes machinations. You don't know who declined the possibility of going. Some guys, it was explained to me by a former player. Some guys don't really look forward to the opportunity to sitting at that podium
in front of just hundreds and hundreds of people,
hundreds of cameras and lights.
Them.
Like that's not why they got into college football. That's not why they play football. And some of them maybe don't want to do that, especially if there's someone else.
If you were a tree, what would it be? That was a question that Jim would ask almost every year.
Yeah. I've heard him say that. Yeah, I've heard him say that, and he never really understood what he meant. But you know, now I do.
Yeah, he was just looking for an answer.
Yeah, but I think Auburn probably had. I mean, you just mentioned Jalen McLeod. Like, I think Auburn probably had, you know, between 6, 10, maybe even 12 guys that would have made sense.
You think about Rivaldo, Keontae. Yeah. I mean, they're just
Dylan Wade.
Guys that have been around for a while.
Yeah, I mean, Dylan Wade started every game on the offensive line last year. He's a Texas guy who's back. Yeah.
You know, I won't be surprised if one day we don't see Connor Lue make that trip to media day.
Absolutely.
As well.
Oh, yeah, I love him.
Cam Coleman.
I love him.
I mean, there being some guys that are going to make it.
Yes. Well, look, guys, I know we got a lot going on. Wow, I can't wait for kickoff. I can smell it already. Can't wait, Andy. Look forward to hearing your calls.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Great hearing from you, Jeff. All right, Andy, I know you've got to run. What's on the schedule?
The Talking Tigers podcast this week is with the new co-head softball coaches, Chris and Kate Malvo. We did this a couple weeks ago. There have been some developments since, including filling out their staffs, but a little bit more about just their background.
Oh, okay.
And to this point,
I like Team Malvo.
I do too.
Easy to like. I don't know what it's going to look like on the field, but I trust these two.
I think you're going to like what it turns into on the field. Next week is the new women's tennis coach, Jordan Szabo. Mm-hmm. In 3 weeks, Greg Williams, of course, inducted into the first college equestrian Hall of Fame class. And the final weekend or the final Monday, it will be John Cohen. A look back on this athletic year, looking ahead, and right now trying to set up a time for Jason Campbell to come in early August, just to talk. I mean, it's 20 years since the 04 team.
Wow.
And yeah, so that will be it. That's the schedule basically for the next month.
Wow, that's
and
great.
Then we will start Tiger Talk mid-August right here.
Yep, wow. We're just about a month away, a little Indeed. Over a month away from that. Andy, Indeed. It's great to have you back.
My
glad
pleasure.
Glad you enjoyed the vacation, and look forward to having you in every time you get a chance.
All right, my pleasure, guys. Have a great day. War Eagle!
All right, we will get to our final break of hour number one. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 here on The Drive.
Four Seasons Federal Credit Union.
Pick 7 online. ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Right-handed. Welcome back into The Drive. Final few minutes of hour number one here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, for stopping in. And yes, we're talking with him. I believe we will hopefully we'll be able to just continue with Tuesday visits with Andy.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, Andy during the season, we'll see what the schedule's like. We'll see what his schedule's like, and we'll see what the what
practice and everything
what media,
else
media availabilities like. And things are like. But last year we had Andy on Tuesdays while one of us was going to the practice
yeah,
windows.
Yeah, that's generally the first day of the practice week. As Auburn generally has, generally it's Monday press conference, Tuesday, maybe a little practice window. So we will see. We'll find that out as we get closer to it. But yeah, looking forward to continued visits from Andy.
Yeah, love getting to hear from Andy as we get closer to the season. He's already getting his prep.
Man, he
underway. The big board out.
Both of his multicolored depth charts.
Yeah, he pulled out the Waffle House menus.
Yeah,
a couple of them.
Man, that's what they looked like.
Had it ready to go. No, it's it's great to see Andy. It's been a couple of weeks, so mm-hmm. glad he's back from Italy and they had a. It does sound like, I mean, that's a whirlwind, isn't it? You know, Vatican, Rome.
Yeah, yeah. Looking, I mean, we're still trying to figure when we can do that. I mean.
I was always told like a big European city is a 4 to 7 day thing because of everything that's going on.
And the thing is,
a lot of times,
and you look and there are these 2 week cruises.
I know.
A week to 2 week cruises. And it's like, oh man, how can you have any time to do anything?
Right. And maybe, depending on how interested you are in what's going on in those cities, it's probably maybe closer to 4 than 7. But, I mean, you can do so much in Paris in 4 days much
Rome.
In
Rome.
Yeah, Amsterdam or Madrid or something. So, yeah, that's when folks are like, I don't know where, it's like just pick a big city somewhere in the world you've never been to before, and you'll find a couple days worth of stuff.
I would sure hope you would.
I mean, I'm looking, I haven't been to Dallas in a very long time, Bill. I'm thinking about maybe taking a trek to down to Dealey, maybe, and seeing the famous. They've got that city block is, and then I know there's also the George W. Bush has a presidential library somewhere. I think it's the SMU campus over there, but a lot of history, a lot of cool stuff to see in Dallas that I'm going to try to make a little bit of room for. I'm there to work, but I'll be there. I'll try to
yeah,
make,
but
try to make a little bit of time.
It's not a 24-hour a day job.
I might try to find some time to slip away here or there and go see something cool.
Yeah, well, hopefully. It is really cool to think about. All right, now you've got Texas and Oklahoma officially in. Greg Sankey will meet with the media there on day one, sort of give his state of the SEC address and some points that he wants to make. I'm sure folks will want to be knowing, all right, is the schedule going to stay like this? Are we going to, are we going to get to a more balanced thing? Are we going to get to a 9-game schedule? What's the playoff situation going to be? And on and on. So, I mean, that may be the most newsy day of the four. Just Greg Sankey and what he can, let people know. Now, I'm not saying what he knows, because he's going to know. He knows an awful lot more than he will let everyone know.
Yeah, although I think
there will be some information that is made official, that folks have speculated about, that will be done after he addresses the media.
Yeah, and he might have a surprise or two in store for us. That's happened before as well, where Sankey has surprised us with an announcement that folks weren't necessarily expecting. I would, Andy was asking about
the addition of a couple of more teams.
Well, there's the location. Yeah, Florida State and Clemson. No, there's the location of next year's media days, which we can find out at some point. Maybe during his remarks. And then if we learn more about any of the unanswered questions around college football or the SEC, 9 games?
Sure.
I
hope so. I mean, we know it won't be it won't be until at least 26, but I sure hope so. All right, fun first hour. Love for you to join in. We're just halfway done here on the Tuesday Drive.
And Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number 2 of the Tuesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Sun is back out here in the area after a bit of a storm a little bit earlier. Hope everybody came through that all right. Came in, and Tracy, who basically runs the show here at the network, said they were very concerned because there was a lightning strike that appeared that sounded like it was very close. All right, we were up in North Auburn with our 2.5-year-old granddaughter. By the way, son and daughter-in-law get back into the States tomorrow evening, so looking forward to them.
It doesn't sound like you didn't need a refresher course on the lyrics to "The Wheels on the Bus," but you've heard it.
We know it now. I mean, what's really interesting is that how quickly Alexa understands when a 2.5-year-old says "Wheels on Bus" and it'll play. Anyway, we were up there and I saw a bolt of lightning. Like I said, up there, it didn't really storm. It just rained for a little bit, and then it was gone. You were saying there was a pretty good thunderstorm in South Auburn.
Yeah, pretty close to the interstate. Sounded like some action, including a couple window rattlers.
That's what Tracy was concerned with what we had Memorial Day. And fortunately, I think just about everything is back intact. Everything is working the way it had been, which is great since both On the Line and the Drive will be out in Dallas. We need you to be able to hear us. And if there are calls, I mean, that would be nice as well. Or it'll really be a fun vacation. Yeah, when you call in and go, hey, well, I'm sorry, I can't hear anything, so we'll see you on next week.
Well, let's start here. I mean, there are going to be people in the studio, that Jake is going to be talking to. You're going to be here while I'm talking. Like, we need to be able to hear each other.
Yes.
Like it's not going to be much of a show. We'll alternate segments. I guess
you've got it for the next 15.
Yeah.
The thing is, I will. I mean, I won't. If you have guests, I don't have to chime in. If you have folks coming up and down Radio Row.
But I also have people. But I'll also have people that you're going to want to talk to, right? I mean, they're also up and down Radio Row folks live. I mean, if I can get some canned stuff and get some quick words with people, we'll run that for you as well. But I'm sure there are going to be people on Radio Row. I'm sure I'll grab Barrett at some point and make him answer questions.
Yeah, he only owes us about 15 Fridays or something. It's one reason or other. Most of them, I'll say more than half of them are my fault because I've either forgotten or we haven't done something, but he's been busy. So we've got to try to find a day that works.
So better. So he owes us 7 Fridays and we owe him 7 Fridays?
I think us owing him is fine. That's just, less time he has to put up with clowns like us.
No, we'll probably talk some Braves with Barrett as well, among all the other things going on. But he's the luminaries that'll be walking around SEC Media Days. I'm curious to see Bill. First year of the SEC post CBS, right? I mean, of all the things, the things we're talking about being different in this year of I mean, you remember the presence CBS had at previous editions of SEC Media Days. I feel like that'll be greatly diminished.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be We said this last year. We found out it was going to be in Texas. This is going to be an ESPN event. Like this is going to like full.
I mean, doubt.
I would think you'll have multiple floors of just, you know, ESPN car washes and things for players and coaches to go through. You know, different networks, different branches of the ESPN the media empire. And so, yeah, I think that's going to be it'll be heavily. I mean, we'll. And we're part of ESPN as an ESPN radio affiliate, but it's I think that the national ESPN outlets that will be there are going to have a ton of access, and that's going to be a lot of the schedule for these players and coaches is going to be spending time with SEC Network, with ESPN, and with the different folks that that ESPN brings to Texas next
yeah.
week.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's gonna be really interesting. Really looking forward to that coverage.
I wonder how much CBS I'll see at all.
Like, I wonder if you'll even see them.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, I'll keep a lookout for Neuheisel.
Yeah, how much Fox presence have you seen at SEC Media Days?
And that's such a contrast, right, to like to SEC Media Days in years past, where the CBS on SEC, you know, it was I mean SEC on CBS and the different SEC CBS partnerships were very clearly on display. This will be something considerably different.
Yeah. So you'll have to let us know. What it looks. Of course, we'll get a chance. Well, that's one thing. One thing we don't have back.
You can bring it up on YouTube TV.
I was
going
to say we don't have the monitor in here. But yes, you're right. I'll be able to watch it on the laptop. But yes, there will be full coverage. I mean, there will be TV coverage. We will have 7 hours a day from the Max Roundtable through On the Line through the Drive for the entire 4 days, Monday through Thursday. I would imagine, I was, mentioned this just quickly and went on to something else early. I would guess since Auburn and who's the other team? Is it Auburn and Kentucky, the last two teams?
I believe that's correct, yeah.
That go until 4 o'clock. They're on the schedule until 4 o'clock on Thursday. I would imagine there will just be a release on Friday from the SEC as far as to the preseason selections. All conference and the standings.
Maybe we get it Thursday morning so folks have stuff to talk about on Thursday. I feel like in the past they've released it.
Well, remember last year it didn't happen that way. Last year it came out the next day.
Yeah. I could
because I kept waiting for it thinking, well, it's coming out here on the last day.
You could see why they would release it on the last day though so folks can discuss and debate. But maybe they're going
to
tabulate it.
That's almost another encouragement to, "Oh, you can go ahead and leave." Which is why, as I was saying earlier on, it's a very wise move to have Texas A&M on the final day as well, or there might not be much media at all left there for day four.
I'm trying to think, are there media windows where Auburn isn't there? I guess there is one. I'm looking, so you have two teams going at the same time. I'm like, are there windows where Auburn doesn't play either of these teams? And it's like, I guess I'm just going to be in the way at Radio Row. And there are a couple.
Well, yeah, there probably are. I mean, because you're only playing 8 of the 15 teams.
Right. So LSU, South Carolina go first.
Yeah, so there's no reason to be there except just for the entertainment.
Right. I mean, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt are the next two that day. Auburn does play Vanderbilt. Yeah. But, I mean, you've got Georgia, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Missouri. Okay, so a lot of three of the four on the second day. On the third day, Auburn doesn't play Florida or Texas. So you've got the second half of Wednesday is a slate where it's not necessarily super. And then on the last
second
day,
half of what day? Second half of Tuesday?
Second half of Wednesday Florida and Texas.
I was going to say, second half of Tuesday, you can go ahead and sneak out and see if you can, buy some cheap tickets to the All-Star game.
I might keep them. Oh, you know what? Actually, Auburn plays both teams on the second half of Tuesday, Oklahoma and Missouri.
Everything's still over in plenty of time.
And then, you know what? And Auburn, on the last day, Auburn plays the other three teams that are scheduled for Thursday. It's Arkansas and A&M in the morning, and then Kentucky is the opponent is the other team going with Auburn in the afternoon. So it's actually could be a pretty busy day for Auburn information because it's not just Auburn's day, but it's also the day for three of Auburn's opponents on the 2024 schedule.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join us on that, or you can text us.
334-564-1840, the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
And we'll go ahead and get to the Drive Hotline, and Greg gets us started. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Doing good.
Listen, I was born and raised in Montgomery, and reflecting back on the Birmingham with the Giants and the Cardinals played, did you ever make it down to Patterson Field in Montgomery?
Back in the days that the Rebels were playing?
Yes.
I mean, I've been to Patterson Field for quite a few events, but no, I never got a chance to see the old Southern League playing at Patterson Field.
Well, the Rebels had Al Kaline, Lou, and Alan Trammell.
Right, Lou Whitaker and Alan Trammell. Yeah,
Lou Whitaker. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you remember Mark Fedrich?
Oh, absolutely, the Bird. The
Bird.
Yeah. We saw him pitch one game before he was called up with the Tigers.
Yeah, that is that's the coolest thing to me about minor league baseball is, you know, you're watching. First of all, it's generally much more fan friendly, but I mean, you've got a chance to see some guys and sort of pick out yourself who's going to be, you know, who's going to be a star, who's somebody that everybody's going to know about when they hit the big time.
Right, right. But there was a lot of major league players that came through Montgomery. That you know, other teams, and but I just want to, you know, I wish we could do something like that. The old Patterson Field hosted a lot of games.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a lot of history there, and I've heard so many stories. And back working with Jim and meeting a lot of the, you know, folks that have been in Montgomery for a long time, I heard some great stories about Patterson Field and the teams and players that came through.
I imagine that when you get the minor league team in Columbus next year, the Braves affiliate moving in from mm-hmm. From Mississippi. I mean, between the team in Montgomery, the team in Birmingham, the team in Rocket City, and now the team in Columbus, you'll have a pretty cool, you know, little four way rivalry going with different parts of the state. And granted, Columbus isn't in the state, but right on the border there. Like I think those four programs could have something pretty energetic in minor league baseball here in the state.
You're exactly right, Dan, and I wish that, you know, Rick Wood had so much history and so does Patterson Field.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it brought back a lot of memories when y'all talking about it a couple of weeks ago, there was a lot of good players came through Patterson Field with the Tigers and other teams.
Oh, I heard, you know. I don't know how many stories I heard from folks that talked about sitting out there on the top of the Kudzu Hill and sliding down it trying to get home run balls.
The thought of, I mean, Trammell and Whitaker played together. Trammell and Whitaker, one of the most amazing, you know, facts about it, like they debuted in the same game. They played, so they were called up together and were teammates for the next two decades as shortstop and second baseman for the Tigers. Like that's amazing that that's a pretty good day, isn't it, Bill? You call up a shortstop and a second baseman.
Yeah, and you've got him for more than a decade. That's unbelievable.
15, 17 years.
Yeah. And it was in, you know, there's a cemetery over there, the Oakwood Cemetery, uh-huh, over there on left field. And this is morbid, but people go out to the cemetery and find baseball, you know. But it was, yeah, the Kudzu center field, there was a house and still is there in center field. And you're exactly right, Bill. That was Kudzu Corner right over there. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
With Patterson Field. Yeah, yeah. But it was just a lot of good history in Patterson Field. So anyway, I just want to ask you about that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I'm glad you called, Greg.
Thank you.
All right, take care. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 here on the Tuesday Drive.
As a second-generation State Farm agent, Callie Bryan.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 19 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls and back to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Dan. How are y'all today?
Doing all right, Terry. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to y'all as well, always. Listening to Doug there on the Max Roundtable, he's talking about how some of the talk about Juju Lewis has kind of cooled off. Have you guys heard that? And where might Auburn go in the direction of quarterback in this class if that wasn't a possibility?
I think the next guy would be K.J. Lacy, the Texas commitment from Saraland. I mean, the Juju Lewis thing, I mean, it's been a wild one. I know Brian yesterday was saying he still expects him to be at Big Cat and still thinks that Auburn has a good shot, but it just feels like it has been a real roller coaster ride lately. There's been a lot of buzz around Colorado, so we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, Auburn, I don't think Auburn is, gone and moved in another direction or anything, but they have definitely been keeping, in touch with K.J. Lacy, who I think Auburn would have a good chance of flipping him if they really pushed.
I was just curious because of all the talk, you haven't heard a lot of talk lately about Lewis, And with the portal being what it is, he could get all the way out of Southern California, could be at Auburn next year.
Well, I would not, regardless of who Auburn signs at quarterback, and Hugh Freeze wants to sign a quality quarterback every year as a freshman, I don't think that precludes you from going out and bringing in somebody from the portal either, because it's still an awful lot to expect any freshman. I don't care how highly touted he is, from stepping in and being a day one starter at an SEC school that thinks they can compete.
You don't see a lot of top 10, top 15 programs that are going into the season thinking the plan A at the quarterback position is the true freshman. You'd like to spend a year or 2 years getting him ready. I mean, I think that the bigger question to me is sort of after this season, like where do the quarterbacks beyond Peyton Thorne on the depth chart now factor in? And if they don't really get on the field, if Peyton Thorne takes the vast majority of the playing time this year at quarterback, it's going to be tough for Auburn to really count on. I imagine it would be tough for Auburn to count on one of those other guys currently on the team. I would think they'll be exploring the portal market and looking for outside veteran options that have proven themselves in college football. But I don't know. That's a lot can change in the 12 games in the regular season. And if one of Auburn's current options gets out there and plays really well, that might change the picture.
I know it's a completely different subject. What's going on with Archer Manning out of Texas? Is that just a Quinn Ewers thing still there? Is he expected to go pro early?
I mean, Quinn Ewers is projected to be the first pick in next year's NFL draft. So I think Arch Manning is fine, waiting his turn behind.
Yeah, expecting it to be next year.
Yeah, spending another year behind.
And in case anything happens to Quinn, who, he's been banged up a time or two.
And I think Texas would be fine with 2 years of Arch Manning as Quinn's understudy and then Arch Manning stepping into the starting role next season.
Okay, guys, appreciate it.
Appreciate the call, Terry. Yeah, you too. I think if something happens and you get to see more and like what you see from one of the young guys at Auburn, it would almost be a surprise if they didn't. If they didn't after this year look at the portal as well as bringing in another quarterback.
Oh, I think it would be. I mean, if Peyton Thorne plays the vast majority of this year,
if he's quarterback, your guy from day one through the season, has a good year, and the other guys, the best you see from anyone else is just backup quarterback, then it probably would be advisable to go out and get an experienced hand.
Yeah, you would need to see. I mean, I you you would. I mean, it would take so much. I can't envision a scenario where one of the backups would be able to do enough without getting on the field and playing substantial snaps to convince the coaches that he should be, you know, a primary option or the option going into next year. So that's why you're seeing quarterbacks leave, right? It's because they need to get on the field and prove themselves. You know, you can only do so much. You can only do so much of the arguing in practice. And so, that'll be something Auburn. We'll see how Auburn uses the quarterbacks this year. It sounds like it's Peyton Thorne's team. Peyton Thorne going to media days next week is another indication of that. He has not. I mean, for folks who haven't, because I've gotten to go to a couple of the practice windows, and you went to a lot of them, Bill.
Right.
Like, I think people have this idea, and maybe they were even, you know, when Peyton Thorne was included as one of the media days representatives by Auburn yesterday. Like, I think people have this idea that it's still a fairly open competition to be QB1. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
I have nowhere near what I think.
It did not. Yeah, I would say at
it didn't look like that to me at practice.
I would say if Peyton Thorne isn't your starter week one, if Peyton Thorne is.
That is a big story.
If Peyton Thorne is beaten out by one of the other guys on the team now, like, it would require a tremendous turn of events, both from Peyton Thorne, as far as the Peyton Thorne we saw the first 6 months of the offseason or so, versus, you know, like, he would need to play his way out of the job,
right?
And you would need one of the other three guys to be, you know, to be undeniable to the point where they needed, like, it would be astonishing.
Absolutely.
It would be astonishing. So I do think, like, folks think of this, oh, well, that's, you know, it's still, you know, up in the air. Peyton Thorne's still defending his. It's like, no, going into the season, like, this is Peyton Thorne's job and Peyton Thorne's team. Could that change over the course of the season? Sure.
Yeah, it could with just about any quarterback that there is anywhere if they don't perform.
That's right. I mean, your hold on the starting job, you know, depends on how you're doing. But going into the season, it would appear Peyton Thorne has a very secure hold.
I agree on
the starting job.
He's the man right now.
And he is
the man.
And unlike last year, I think he's been able to spend most of this offseason.
Oh, the first question he got last year was, how's Robbie Ashford figure into the picture?
Yes.
I mean, how
the first
one. You're the transfer quarterback who's thrown for 3,000 yards and
you've won the job.
Yeah.
But Hugh Freeze has just come out and told everybody you're the starter.
You come in and your first question is, you know, how's Robbie Ashford?
And I think that's because there were folks rooting for Robbie to win the job. That, you know,
Peyton loved Robbie's athleticism. Yeah.
I think Peyton got caught in the crossfire. I think people also admired the idea that Robbie had been here for the tumultuous season in 2022, and, you know, Peyton Thorne was kind of the interloper, the new guy, and so, you know, there was some of that going on too. But no, I think this offseason has felt much more like there is security in Peyton Thorne's position as QB1 for Auburn, as opposed to last season where there were always questions about, namely, one other player at the position, but Auburn going in other directions other than Peyton Thorne.
His job is more secure than some of the people that we talk about all the time as, you know, players that Auburn's counting on or surefire starters. He is the surefire starter at quarterback, unless he's hurt.
Yes, but that's, and I think that's something that folks, you know, I heard some folks express
I hear
surprise.
It all the time.
Yeah, and it's wild to me because it's like it's
still an open competition. Well, it's always a competition. No, it better be.
The
but
competition.
I mean, Peyton has won the competition.
The competition at quarterback right now is the competition to be quarterback number two.
Right.
Like, it feels like the really fierce competition is the competition to be the next guy up after Peyton.
Because if you're not number two, you're probably not going to get on the field.
Yes.
At all.
And if the true freshman plays his way to number two, that's a pretty big story. If Walker can work his way, and there's been talk that there were practices where Walker seemed like the sharpest of the three beyond Peyton. So it's like if Walker White can work his way there, beating out Holden, beating out Hank. If Holden can hold off Hank, that's a pretty big story because it would mean that, you know, things have.
Yeah, well, it appeared that Hank had moved up to number two, and then I think Holden came on toward the end of the spring.
I think Holden does some things that Hugh Freeze likes in his quarterback. I mean, for a guy who was a holdover from the previous coaching staff, like, I think there's still some things. I mean, there were times. there were times in practice where it felt like Holden was the number two last season, right? You'd go to practices, yes.
and
we had one late in the season where it's like now it feels like Holden has moved ahead of Robbie. And
well, it was down the stretch.
Yeah,
down the stretch, I really felt that was the case.
Yeah,
and then Holden really struggled when he got in the bowl game, and then Hank came in and played well, and everybody was like, "That's the guy."
But I would say, for folks, surprised at Peyton Thorne's inclusion at Media Days for that reason, like it has felt like his team.
Yes,
and the time when it didn't feel like his team was after the bowl game when you thought Auburn might reconsider going in the portal after other quarterbacks.
Right.
But in hindsight, and maybe Auburn seriously considered a quarterback or two in the portal. I don't know. There were Cam Ward rumors.
I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't consider.
But it seems like Auburn's reaction after the bowl game was to double down on we need receivers. Mm-hmm. Because the bowl game was also supposed to be an audition for those
here's,
four.
Here's the other thing. All right, we got to see some practice. Everybody got to see the games. But we didn't get to see the rest. And the coaches and the players seem to feel like they're okay. So, I mean, we'll find out. Again, the proof's going to be on the field.
But that was an option. It felt like the bowl game for the three or four scholarship receivers Auburn took to the bowl game amid the turnover. But it felt like it was an opportunity for those guys. And instead, Auburn came out of the bowl game thinking we need more reinforcements.
That had to be the top priority, and man, I think they did a tremendous job there. I mean, with the signing class, with the four,
I know someone who saw Perry Thompson around this week. I've seen him on campus.
I think they were seeing a linebacker.
An impressive looking
that
dude.
Those are the
reports I've gotten.
Large young man.
Yeah, I can report. Folks are saying that's an impressive looking dude.
Yeah, I mean Cam Coleman is impressive looking. Perry Thompson is he's bigger. There's no question about that. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Got plenty of time for you to join us. The final half hour of The Drive coming up.
Be a part of The Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Right now we're going to head to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Welcome in our good friend from Crane & Company, and that is Jake Crane. Jake, how you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing great. Just we're one day closer, guys. One day closer.
Oh yeah, I mean we've been talking a good bit about things that we're looking forward to next week. The unofficial start of the season. The shame of the matter is we're not going to have practice starting immediately after. I feel like when we get through with media days, let's go ahead and see them out there. We're starting practice in the next week.
Well, that's why I said media days is like the Thanksgiving of holidays when it comes to college football. I mean, we get all this all filled up on information and sound bites and predictions and prognostications, and then you just got to go sleep on it for a while until Christmas comes during the season.
Yeah, try to spread things out and don't open all the packages media-wise at once.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I tell you, though, it's having the video game come out and then, all the craziness going into this year, I will say it has been able to give us more air to fill up space.
Jake, how do you feel Texas and Oklahoma are going to fare in their first year in the SEC? It sounds like Texas is a team coming off of last year's playoff appearance that people believe could be in the top tier of the SEC immediately and maybe competing for the SEC championship and a spot in the college football playoff again. Oklahoma, year two for Brent Venables last season. They win 10 games. They beat Texas. But I think people are a little bit more reserved on their expectations for the Sooners in their first year in the SEC. What are you thinking for the two new arrivals?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to talk about year one, I think you'd be crazy when you look at personnel and schedule to not think that Texas has a better chance to make some noise than Oklahoma does. When you look at Oklahoma having to replace their whole offensive line and having a green quarterback, that's not exactly a winning combination going into the Southeastern Conference, let alone college football in general. But when you look at Texas, you know, they got Michigan before they even start SEC play. We're going to find out pretty quick from a physicality standpoint if they're able to kind of recreate what they were able to do last year. I don't think either one of them win the SEC, to be honest with you. Now, I've continued to say, and I tell all, you know, our audience members that are Texas and Oklahoma fans this, you know, the thing you need to know about the SEC is you hear all these people from the outside say, oh, the SEC is top heavy, and, you know, you just got to be able to beat Alabama or beat Georgia, which is hard enough in its own right. But what makes the SEC so difficult is the meat grinder that is the schedule outside of Vanderbilt. You're playing a team that has NFL players, and if it's on the road, it's most likely in a really hostile environment. So the trick about navigating the SEC is not just about the peaks. It's there's not a lot of valleys either.
Yeah, come on in and join this league and play this schedule if you think it's that easy.
Yeah,
sure.
Then talk to me.
Yeah. You know, well, one of the things we were talking about a little while ago is, I mean, Auburn comes up on the last day. And I can recall, I mean, there have been a lot of times that, boy, by the last day, everybody's looking to head out. At least Texas A&M is scheduled there for Thursday morning. Because if that weren't the case, I wonder if it'd be a ghost town in Dallas by Thursday afternoon.
God, I wish it wasn't the case. I hope people don't even know that Auburn's there. It can do nothing that can be said there. Auburn is in a position Auburn isn't in a lot, where they're kind of low-key, and they're able to be the hunter. And the longer you can stay in that position, the easier it is to get guys up, the chip-on-the-shoulder mentality. But the last thing you want to do is go there and say something to give somebody some bulletin board material that they didn't have before. You really always want it to be like that. So I really don't mind it that much. I would rather Auburn just keep sliding under the radar.
Yeah, I mean, I think the expectations for Auburn, you know, that we'll see reflected at Media Days next week, are that I think there are six teams on Auburn's schedule that will finish ahead of them in the projected order of finish at Media Days next week. All four of the teams Auburn plays on the road, Kentucky, Missouri, Alabama, and Georgia, plus most likely Texas A&M and Oklahoma, two teams that come to Jordan-Hare Stadium. I mean, that feels like, you know, folks are thinking 6-6, maybe 7-5 if you steal one of the home games. You know, if you're Auburn, you know, that's I think that's probably a fair place to place the expectations going into this season from the outside. And then the question becomes, can Auburn outperform that?
Well, I hope they pick us last. I hope they pick us behind Vanderbilt. I really do. But look, again,
too many people saw the Arkansas game last year, Jake. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, not that many people saw the bowl game.
Yeah, or the New Mexico State game. No, look, it's to the point now where, you know, preseason predictions are preseason predictions. The Kentucky one's interesting to me, trying to predict where Kentucky's going to finish with Brock Vandegrift being new there. And, you know, Kentucky's kind of taken a step back up front here in the past couple of years, and that's really what, you know, got Stoops to help get Kentucky to another level. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to pick Auburn to finish middle of the pack, maybe middle of the back of the pack, and that's great. And why shouldn't they? You know, why shouldn't they? Until Auburn's able mm-hmm. to
three straight losing seasons. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, again, what do you expect? To go get picked third? So none of that stuff really matters. I think it can only help the further back you're picked in the preseason, because we don't have to deal with, you know, what we had to deal with in 2004, where if you don't start in the top two spots, you don't make the Natty, regardless of how well you do.
It is a different world. I mean, we're talking about all the different, I mean, Media Days will have virtually no CBS presence next week because the SEC on CBS is a thing of the past. The projections won't include divisions. You know, you're just going to be 1 through 16 in projected order of finish because there are no divisions mm-hmm. anymore. And the, you know, well, Texas and Oklahoma are going to be there. And the college football playoff is expanding to 12 teams. I mean, there's so much that has changed in a very short period of time. I mean, none of those things factor in that it's Kalen DeBoer's first SEC Media Days. And that would be the big story, I think, in a more normal offseason.
Oh, if we were in Birmingham, it would be the story.
Yeah, I mean, but with everything that's different about college football, it's like, oh, and also Nick Saban retired, and Kalen DeBoer's running the show at Alabama now.
Yeah. Yeah, heck, I mean, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if they announced Florida State and Clemson were joining the SEC. I mean, that's what they did a couple years ago with Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But, no, there's more storylines. And it's, and like you said, it's not just Southeastern Conference stuff either. I mean, it's all across the board in college football in general. But you could have a whole very vibrant and newsworthy SEC Media Days just off eating Texas and Oklahoma coming into the league and, you know, it being in Dallas. But with so many things going on, and that doesn't even count the sound bites. Somebody's going to say something. They always do. So when it comes down to material, we are definitely not short of any of that.
No, and Auburn's got an interesting group going with Peyton Thorne and Eugene Asante. I think you know what you're going to get there. You would expect Keldrick Falk, but, I mean, he's a sophomore. You know, sometimes the younger guys are more likely to speak their mind and not necessarily the party lines. And I'm not saying Keldrick's going to say anything, but that's the type thing or the type player that you might get something from any of the 16 teams.
Yeah, you best believe somebody sat down and had a conversation with him about just that exact point as well, which, you know, it's an honor for him to be selected.
Absolutely.
As a young guy, and it just shows you not only does the athletic ability, not only has that caught up with what we thought he was going to be when Auburn signed him, but obviously the leadership role and the maturity is there as well. So, yeah, I think it's a good group. I thought maybe they would take an offensive lineman with them. I did not have Folk on my bingo card and going, but I think that's a good sign for Auburn fans. And yeah, the older guys, they know the deal. You know, Eugene, and I would say, to be honest with you, they probably talked to Falk so much. The guy I think that may say something, maybe Asante.
Talking with Jake Crane from Crane and Company here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive, and Jake, we were talking a little Peyton Thorne before you jumped on, and I think it's I did not predict Peyton Thorne as one of the three representatives that Auburn was going to select, but I think it's a cool.
I thought he would.
I think it's a cool move. It's a vote of confidence in a guy who has spent this offseason as the number one quarterback, and it's a you know, it's another sign of confidence in Peyton Thorne. I think it's another attempt to build Peyton Thorne's confidence after a season that where it didn't really feel like his team for much of the year because there was so much attention paid to Robbie Ashford.
Yeah, you know, I kind of think what would be the backlash if you didn't bring him.
Yes, up, that's exactly, you know? My thought.
You're kind of painted in a corner where you got to bring him. I mean, if you're a team that's not bringing your quarterback outside of it being some freshman that's going to start,
mm-hmm.
I think that casts a bigger shadow than just bringing him. And look, I mean, Peyton knows that there's no shortage of people that know Peyton Thorne now has more weapons around him. He's going to be in year two in pretty much a very similar system, even though Phil Montgomery isn't the offensive coordinator anymore. And all the pressure is on him, but that's what comes with playing quarterback. You know, typically you get too much of the credit when it goes good. You get too much of the blame when it goes bad. But I think by bringing him, you know, you're almost forced to, not saying that he hasn't earned it or anything like that, but you're almost forced to because on the other side of the coin, boy, that would be quite the story if he didn't come.
Well, when Hugh Freeze is asked every time he is anywhere, he's asked about his confidence in Peyton Thorne, and he keeps talking about how much confidence he has in him. Yes, if he didn't take him, then people would go, well, he didn't mean it.
Yeah, it's like obviously he's not a leader on the team, or, you know, he is going to be the weak link on this team, or, man, are the players not getting along because they don't consider him a leader? So there's so many bad. That Pandora's box would go on forever if
you're not
somebody
kidding.
That was not an Auburn fan.
No, you're not kidding. Jake, I think we talked about this either last time or the time before, but I haven't seen any clarification. I'm imagining Greg Sankey could give us some clarification, but the NCAA has proposed cutting the transfer windows down. Yeah, I know we did talk about this a little bit, but have you heard any more as to if it's cut from 45 to 30 days, if football's still going to have two transfer windows, one at the end of the fall and one at the end of the spring, or would it just be one 30-minute window? What would you prefer?
Well, I know that some of the coaches I've talked to, they want that one window, obviously. They want one window, they want the answers, and they want them now. It's kind of like a J.T. Wentworth commercial. And I think because of that, and it's so unanimous, that's the way it's going to go. If I had to put my money on it, that's how I would think.
So would that preclude players from being eligible immediately if they transferred after, you know, spring? I wonder. I guess that would be the case.
I don't think outside of getting a waiver, are there being some sort of exemption clause or something which would kind of defeat the purpose. I think the whole reason you shorten it is to be able to control the eligibility more, but also be able to control the rosters of the teams earlier and quicker than what you did. So, I mean, outside of some sort of, you know, bylaw or exemption clause, I think that would be it.
Well, I can see that where they would say, all right, everybody's got a chance to be eligible immediately the next year, but you've got to do it. You've got to do it at the end of the calendar year, and if you do it at the end of the school year, you're just going to have to sit out unless you transfer down.
Eliminating the spring portal window feels like it would be a pretty big step. It's also something that it sounds like more and more coaches would be in favor of, because guys don't want to have to re-recruit their whole roster once spring practice is over.
Yeah, they'd like once you've gone through winter workouts and spring practice,
I guess a compromise you could offer would be, you know, only, you know, and I guess this is a system we had for a long time where the only players that could transfer after the spring semester and have immediate eligibility would be players who have earned their degrees, players that are graduating and moving from undergraduate
to graduate school.
I'd
be shocked if you ever prevented graduate transfers from being immediately eligible.
Right, and so maybe.
And, you know, again, somebody gets sick or somebody passes away, like, and you have to get a waiver from the NCAA. But, yeah, I mean, and anything to clean up the timeline and clean up the calendar, that's a big thing. That's coach's biggest complaints right now, is that the calendar's so messed up, especially with the multiple windows and when they are, that, I mean, your roster's always a moving target, but it wasn't moving at 100 miles per hour like it is now.
Yeah, no kidding. Jake, great stuff. As always, you're going to be in Dallas?
Oh, heck yeah. I'm going to be there, man. Ready to rock and roll.
Looking forward to it, Jake. I'll see you there.
Awesome, guys. Appreciate y'all as usual.
All right, tell everybody what you got going in the meantime with Crane & Company.
Oh, look, we're so deep in college football, I'm having to come up for air every couple minutes. We had Jesse Simonton from On3 today. You know, Big 12 Media Day started today. Talking a bunch of Texas and Oklahoma coming in the SEC. So, look, if you're a college football fan, you know, you can find us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company. We go live from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Central each weekday. Have live calls, a live chat. If you can't catch us live, it stays on demand.
Great stuff. Thanks again, Jake. Take care. Have a great trip out to Dallas.
All right. Y'all be good.
All right. Jake Crane joining us. And, yeah, he hopefully he's available.
Our usual. Maybe we can get him at our usual time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He should be available Jake at down his regular time.
On Tuesday. Looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. All right. We will get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Like the Mighty Live Oak, Nick Hayes.